Oh, there was a Jonas brother.
What?
I just remember that. It's a freaking Jonas brother. Who wants to hear from a Jonas brother?
Dude, I never want to hear you utter that statement again.
I was saying that because I was so excited. Hello and welcome to the 14th episode of Between the Pixels. I'm Jared.
I'm Devin.
I guess I go. Oh, we have a guest, or how's this work?
Yeah, Brian, you always go to
I'm Brian.
And I'm Dylan.
Don't sound so excited.
And I'm here.
Sorry, Brian just ruined the mood, man. I don't know.
Yeah, Brian did. He always
just
ruins
took
it
so
though.
Long, and I'm like, God, can we get this over with?
Don't worry, man. We'll fix this in post. It'll sound awesome. Don't worry about it.
I'm not editing anything.
So you're going to finally take Derek's advice?
Never. I will never take Derek's advice.
No.
Anyway, so yeah, Dylan, he's a longtime friend of ours joining us this week on the podcast. I'm sure you'll hear more of him in the future. Hey, Dylan.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Dylan, what do you do for a living?
I am an assistant manager at GameStop.
At every GameStop.
At every single GameStop. No, the one in Phoenixville.
And do you enjoy working at GameStop?
Yeah, I really do. Pretty fantastic. I get a lot of perks. Like, I get a free PS3 from Sony.
It's funny. That's exactly what most people say about working for the devil.
A free PS3?
Specifically the PS3 part, or what? I work for the devil. I got a free PS3.
Just generally
soul
perks.
By soul for a PS3. That's how it
that's
works.
That's pretty awesome.
Well, isn't that the only way you can buy it? Half the time, anyway? Because it's like $600?
It's like $250 now. You're only a few years late, Brian.
But yeah, Sony had this tech demo for all the system managers and store managers at GameStop, and like basically, it was basically like they were saying, oh, you know, GameStop is number one in the world in accessory sales and software sales for Sony, but not for hardware sales. So they wanted us to be the number one there too. So they taught us a bunch of stuff about the PS3 that maybe people didn't know. Like, for example, did you know if you put like photos and stuff on your PS3, you can sort them by like whether or not people are smiling, what color shirts people are wearing, how many people are in the picture, that kind of thing.
Oh my God, because that's what I've always wanted to do, was sort pictures by their color of shirt.
Yeah,
that's
what I do already.
It's a cool
multimedia feature.
That's a pretty cool feature. I mean, I don't see how it would appeal to the typical gamer.
Yeah, exactly. But in a world where, you know, gaming, hardcore gaming is kind of falling to the wayside for, you know, families and stuff, it's kind of understandable to include that kind of feature. Plus, it costs them literally nothing because, you know, Sony already makes digital cameras. So the tech is built right in. But yeah, basically as a thank you for all the assistant managers and store managers that went. By the way, this was like 2 weeks after I became an assistant manager, so that was fantastic. They gave us this little card and they're like, guys, don't lose this. This is your golden ticket. So basically we go on PlayStation's retail loyalty site and we could either get like, basically, my store manager comes to me and he's like, dude, when you fill this in, whatever you do, say that you do not already have a PS3. I'm like, but I do have a PS3. He's like, just say that you don't. I'm like, why? He's like, you'll see. So I said that I don't have a PS3, and they were like, congratulations, your reward is a free 120 gig slim.
Nice.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, it was pretty sick.
What did you happen to do with your old one, then?
I sold it to a buddy for $100.
Aren't they already completely down the drain as far as selling consoles, and then they go and just give away all these consoles?
Well, they figured most of the people already had them, so the other thing that people could have gotten was like a Move bundle.
Yeah, so by the time the
and
Move...
And everyone wants that.
When did you become store assistant?
System manager, that was back in April.
Yeah, so Sony already broke even and actually started making a profit more than a year ago.
Yeah, it was a while back. Like, they're already, like, if you go year-to-year sales, they're way higher than Microsoft.
They're not losing that much. Anyway, hey, check out our website, guys, pixelperfectmag.com. It's the URL. We got daily news and other content going out. Like, recently, this week, we had a really good interview with John Patrick Lowry, and our EIC, Justin Brennis, interviewed him. If you're not sure who John Patrick Lowry is, he's a sniper from TF2. He's also in a lot of different games, like he's in Halo Reach, Infamous, Fear 2, Left 4 Dead. The list goes on. But make sure to listen to that. It's a really good interview. He's the wife of Ellen McClain. The voice of... Well, he's not the wife.
I was going to let that one go, Jerry.
It's an interesting relationship they've got there. I'm the wife. Weird. No, you're the wife.
Well, we're not sure who's the wife. hopefully John doesn't listen to this.
I doubt it.
He is the husband of Ellen McClain, the voice of GLaDOS, who we also did an interview with. So check that out, too, on the website. That's from a while ago, so just type in Ellen McClain in the search and find that. Both very good interviews, which I edited. They're fantastic.
Aw, yeah.
Of course, our weekly comic, New Low Score, comes out every Saturday. Strip number 7 came out this week. It's all about Diablo 3.
Oh, for all our listeners, I did notice that you were recognizing that you had a problem reading it. If you just click on it twice, you can zoom in, at least on Firefox. So, there was some problem with it being too small to read, as per what our website said. So, anyone that listens to Between the Pixels has a secret insider tip to reading the comic strip. Hooray!
Breaking news here. And while you're reading it, why don't you drop some words to Justin Pintabona, the guy who draws and writes it all. Let him know what you think of it. He's been working pretty hard to bring these comics out every week, so I'm sure he'd appreciate hearing the feedback. That's all I got for updates.
Woo!
I don't know, we didn't say it last time, but we had a winner for that Xbox bundle that we were going to give away just by liking us on Facebook and commenting. And congratulations to Nathan Hartzler, who's actually one of my friends who entered that.
We have contests going on through Pixel Perfect periodically, and recently it was like it basically amounted to like a $400 bundle of stuff. Had a Kinect and 360 and some games with it. And we gave that away. It was a pretty simple contest. All you had to do was like us on Facebook and comment on the page telling us. I don't know. What did they have to tell us? I don't even remember.
You had to comment.
You had to comment about something specifically. But either way, we got a contest going on through Pixel Perfect. And we'll be having more in the future. So make sure you're always checking that. Make sure you're following Pixel Perfect on Twitter so you can keep up to date on that. We'll throw all that crap in at the end. Don't worry about it. Just listen to the whole podcast. And then you'll have to. Then you'll get the payoff of knowing what our Twitter is. Anyway, oh yeah, we're playing an indie game every week, guys. We're playing one every single week. This week we played the game Trauma. We're not sure what we're playing next week, but if you want to know what we are playing, we'll be tweeting it out on our Twitter at btwnthepixels. So follow us on there.
Brian, did you play Trauma?
Yes, I did. I actually got farther than Jared did, so eat it.
How do you get farther? I beat it.
I didn't beat it. Basically,
essentially beat it.
Well, you get farther by beating it when the other guy doesn't beat it.
But it took like 10 minutes, so I don't understand how you could not beat it.
Yeah, it's not a long game. I didn't have a lot of time to play it this week.
You didn't have 10 minutes this
week? I guess 10 minutes is a long time.
I don't have 10 minutes.
It's not like you have a phone with Flash Player now that you could just play it while you're pooping.
I don't think it is on Android.
It's on a website.
It's on a website?
I didn't play it on a website. What are you talking about? I played it through Steam.
I downloaded it, dude.
Where'd you play it, Brian?
You're weird.
On that website link you gave us?
Okay, Brian, did you play the website instead of the actual game?
Were you just like scrolling up and down?
Yeah, exactly. Dude, I beat that game. I scrolled up and down like 40 times.
I'm guessing you beat it too then, Brian, right?
You can play it directly from the website.
I'm going to have to check this out right now.
Yeah,
definitely. Well, they
can.
Make you pay for it, though.
No, they don't. That's how you play it for free.
Buy Trauma. Purchase access to the download available version of Trauma. You'll be able to experience it in offline and high quality with minimum loading times. Oh. That would have been good to know beforehand. Well, I spent like $2 on it. Who cares?
I clicked try it online. That's it. Whatever. You're an idiot. I know the internet better than you.
So you have to play the whole entire game for free? It was just like a lower quality or something?
Just longer loading times and stuff. Whatever.
Who cares?
Websites. What are those?
Who uses the internet anymore?
Who uses websites these days? Jesus.
I kind of feel bad for talking about this game, and Dylan has probably never even heard of it.
Why do you feel bad?
I don't know.
Like, Dylan's going to get real upset.
This sucks!
If our production manager would have decided to forward this information to our guest, then, you know, maybe he could have played. But we have a terrible production manager. I'm not going to name names, but, you know.
Brian, you're out.
This just got real.
Leave right now.
You're out. Dylan's in. Get out.
Yes!
Yes! God, I was hoping I'd kill myself early tonight.
I'm just going to go hang myself in the bathroom. So anyway, what have you guys been playing this week?
Zelda.
Trauma.
Skyrim.
Zelda? You said Zelda?
Oh my god, yeah. Skyward Sword, it's amazing. It's like the motion controls really make it. Like, I was worried about it beforehand, because Twilight Princess was so awful on the Wii. So, basically, like, I read all the reviews on IGN and Game Informer. They gave it perfect 10s, of course, and they were like, once you play with the motion controls, you'll never want to go back, and I did not believe it until I actually played it. Like, one of the things I was telling Jared earlier is, like, you know, the Zelda games are one of my favorite series. I've been playing them pretty much out of the womb, but they're so puzzle-centric that the combat's never really been a focus at all. Like, it was there, but it was pretty much one-button combat, like, you know, slashing with your sword, maybe throwing a gadget or something if you need to. This is very much like you need to slice in specific directions, you need to stab sometimes, you need to... The motion plus just really makes it perfect. Like, the combat is just incredible.
Is it by far the best combat in any of the Zeldas?
Oh, easily. Without a doubt.
What do you think about, like, the art direction and the graphics? I mean, obviously the Wii can't put out graphics, like, detail-wise as far as, like, the 360 or the PS3. But I've heard multiple thoughts on the graphics. What do you think of those?
Well, I pretty much... you don't need good graphics to make a good game. Look at Final Fantasy VII. It's still the best game of all time, and the graphics were awful. Zelda, it's pretty much... They used the Wii as strongly as they possibly could, which, yeah, you know, with a dual-core processor, it's not as strong as the 360 or the PS3, but it's still a gorgeous game because they didn't have to rely on realistic graphics with the cel shading and the cartoony look and everything. They relied on graphics that were believable for the world that this is in, and they definitely achieved that.
I personally like them. I've always been, I mean, I love Ocarina of Time, who doesn't?
Oh, of course.
And that is a more, I guess you would say, more realistic looking Zelda.
Yeah, but very much so.
I loved Wind Waker. I loved the way Wind Waker looked and it played and everything. But as far as graphics goes, I love the way... I think that was, like, a perfect interpretation of Zelda for me.
I agree.
I was glad to see sort of a more of a cel-shaded, almost like a painting style with Skyward Sword, and not so much, like, the realistic, like, that Twilight Princess went for.
Definitely, and it doesn't... One of the things I really love, like, I only just finished the third temple. I haven't nowhere near beaten the game or anything, but, like...
It's a long game.
Oh, it's a very long game. I've heard 50 to 100 hours, depending on how much of the side stuff you do. But, like, I'm about 20 hours in right now. I beat the third temple, and, like, the cutscenes... I know Zelda's never been known for its cutscenes. They're pretty much just like, hey, I'm Ganondorf. Oh, God, I have to kill you. But the Ghirahim, the main bad guy, like, there was this awesome cutscene where, like, he was attacking Zelda, and then, you know, Link shows up with this giant... like, overhead sword slice. He just jumps in out of nowhere, and it's just this really well-done cutscene that I think stands up to cutscenes in just about any game, considering it's a Zelda game, you know?
Well, one of the things I've heard, and I'm really anxious to see, you don't really ever see a relationship between Zelda and Link, at least beforehand. And I guess in Skyward Sword, they kind of... You see some of the relationship beforehand between Zelda and Link before Zelda's taken away.
Right off the bat, because, like, you start out in Skyloft and everything, and, like, your Crimson Loftwing, which is your bird, gets, like, kidnapped. This is all in the first, like, 10 minutes of the game. Like, one of the, you know, jerk other students at the school, the night school, like, takes your bird. It's like, ah, now you won't be able to compete in the race. You know, classic, you know, kiddie fashion. Like, ah. So you get your bird back, and you do the race and everything, and, of course, you win, and then, like, that earns you the right to do the ceremony of the goddess on top of the goddess statue with Zelda, and she's wearing, like, the traditional goddess garb, and she has the harp and everything, which you get later, you know, the nice, you know, Wind Waker slash ocarina slash whatever instrument you always get in the games. So you get the harp and everything later, but she like, goes out with you on your Crimson Lothwing, and you just really see the relationship developing right off the bat. And then every time you see her after that, it's just for fleeting moments. And then you're like, oh, God, I have to go find her. And then she's like, come find me. And you're like, okay, cool.
One of the things you always hear from, I guess, I don't know, from fans of Zelda or people that really aren't fans of Zelda, is how Nintendo keeps pumping out the same games all the time. And I've even said that before myself. But if you really look at it, there haven't been a lot of Zelda games over the years compared to, like, how many Call of Duties come out or yeah. Guitar Heroes and stuff like that.
Madden.
But, yeah. But do you feel like this is just another Zelda, or does this really feel completely different for the franchise? I mean, I know Wind Waker was much different than Ocarina, but there's something about them, it just felt like Zelda, you know what I mean?
I understand what you're saying. It's like, of course, as a longtime Zelda fan, pretty much the minute the opening started, I was just in, like, pure nostalgic bliss, and I was like, oh, it's gonna be the best game ever. But, you know, once I kind of got past the initial feeling of, okay, it's Zelda and I love Zelda, I really started to notice, like, combat being, of course, the very first thing you notice differences with. Like, with the Motion Plus, when you're doing your sword training or whatever, they have these logs basically that have grooves in them in a specific direction, like, you know, diagonal down left, diagonal down right, horizontal, vertical, and then one where you just have to stab it. You notice right away that you can slice in any direction using the Motion Plus, and the best part is you don't even need to aim at the TV because it's not even using the infrared; it's just using the Motion Plus. So, like, I can lie down on the couch and play a Wii game for the first time ever.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's really pretty nice.
But the combat, like I said, first thing that you notice that you're like, wow, they really, really stepped it up with this. The story itself does feel pretty traditional Zelda for the most part. You know, you start as a nobody, you find out that you're meant to be a hero and everything. One of the bright spots that I really enjoyed is the new version of Navi, if you will. Fi, the guardian that lives inside your sword, she's really robotic, and it comes off as being kind of funny. Like, you know, you can ask her specific stuff, like, you know, about the mission you're on or advice on what to do, which is nice for people that haven't really played Zelda before, because we all know some of the Zelda puzzles can get pretty rough. So you can actually ask her and be like, well, what should I do? And she'll be like, not really super specific, but like, it'll be like, well, in that one room where you had the two mechanisms that opened the door, it looks like there were two, not just one like you thought. And you're like, oh, okay, I gotta go find that now. Which is nice for beginners and stuff, because, you know, Zelda is definitely geared towards a younger generation, even though all of us grew up playing it, so we love it. But she becomes kind of funny, because she'll be like, you know, oh, with the weapons, the item set that you currently have equipped, I estimate a 30% chance that you will not get through this. And I'm like, oh, well, that's kind of messed up.
That's very specific.
Yeah, she's very robotic, which I love.
But the important question is she half as annoying as Navi?
Funny, she's not annoying at all. Funny side note on that, my buddy and I were going to do a comic where, like, it's good. The first panel is just going to be, like, you know, Link and Navi, and it's going to be like, hey, listen, kind of like similar to what VG Cats did back, like, 10 years ago. And then the second panel is going to be, like, Navi with, like, a broken neck, dead on a string on a fishing rod, and Link's, like, holding her up, being like, I'm listening now! I'm listening! But, yeah, the other thing, she's not annoying at all. Like, she kind of chimes in when necessary. She doesn't have that annoying voice or anything. Like, her voice almost sounds like, if you've ever played Animal Crossing, the language they speak, it kind of just sounds like that, which is not annoying, it's just kind of there.
So she's Tom Nook. So Tom Nook is basically the new Navi.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if you heard, by the way, funny side note, in the new Animal Crossing, you play as the mayor, and Tom Nook is now a real estate agent. And when I told that to my best friend, he was like, wait, how did that slumlord get a license? But the other big thing that I can mention about the new Zelda that I really like, you don't just start off with, like, all the gear that you're going to have for the rest of the game. Like, you start off with just the sword, pretty much. You don't have a shield at first. And, you know, that's traditional, but the cool thing is you don't just automatically get this awesome shield. Like, I know the Deku shield could burn in Ocarina of Time, but in this one you start out just getting a wooden shield, and it can actually break, which is kind of cool, because you use the nunchuck to control the shield, and then you use the Wii Remote to control the sword. So you actually have to do, like, timed parries and stuff with the shield, which I really like. But if it takes too much of a beating, it can actually get broken, and then you'll be without a shield. The other cool thing is that it's an item in your inventory, and you have a limited inventory space, almost via, like, Resident Evil 5, where you can only carry so many items with you, and if you want more, you're pretty much out of luck. So, like, I can carry, like, a bag that makes me be able to hold more Deku seeds for my slingshot, and I can hold a couple bags that let me, like, each one is an individual item that let me carry 5 bombs more apiece, and then I can hold a shield, and then other than that, I can't use items, other than, you know, special equipment items, like the slingshot itself and that kind of thing. But the shield is considered one of those items, and then, like, the wooden shield can burn, the electric shield, even if you block, you'll still take a hit from electricity, that kind of thing.
Well, is there a place where you can, like, leave your stuff then?
Like, yeah, a house or like something? Basically in the bazaar on the main town in Skyloft, there's, like, the guy that can improve your equipment. Another first for Zelda, which I really like, you find random stuff out in the field, and you can, like, give it to him, and he'll be like, oh, if I use this almost like a Dark Cloud 2 really weird thing, where it's like, oh, if I use this jelly blob and this monster claw, I can improve your shield. And you're like, oh, okay, cool, do it. So you can improve your weaponry and stuff, some of it, not all of it. But then there's also, like, just a bank, basically, where you can store items that you don't want to use right now.
Okay. Well, I had a friend who had basically the opposite experience you had with the sword, swordsmanship part. But then again, he and I do swordsmanship. So I mean, I
yeah, guess but that's never... a weird complaint. Like, this isn't like using a real sword. Like, that's a little much. That's like me saying, like, this
well,
isn't
flicking
like...
your wrist. You mean?
Well, I mean, he was saying that like every motion he did felt. I wouldn't want to say wrong, but he said was feeling like it wasn't like he was having a hard time playing the game at first.
Does he play a lot of video games, or is he more?
Yes, he does.
He was comparing it to how you would swing a sword in real life.
I mean, that's like saying someone that plays Dance Central, who's also a dancer, is going to complain about it not being real dancing. Like, it is meant to be a reasonable facsimile. It's not meant to be reality. It's meant to be a facsimile of reality.
Right.
Well, yeah, but I was just wondering if you. Never mind.
All right. Well, your friend's an idiot, and I'm going to stab him with a Wiimote. How's that?
Does he listen to this?
hopefully not.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding, friend. I understand. No, like, I can't understand how, if you know actual swordsmanship, how that could be a little rough. Like, it's definitely, you know, and it's not just, like, the flick of the wrist that most Wii games are. You actually do have to do slices in different directions, because it needs to read the full eight-way motion. So I do really like that, and it feels nice as someone who just wanted more combat from a Zelda game, but as someone who uses real swords, I can see that getting odd.
One opinion that I've read in a lot of places was that this really feels like the motion control game that Nintendo's been wanting to make the entire time.
Absolutely.
And that what the Wii could do. But the unfortunate thing is that it's come at the end of the Wii's life cycle and almost
end
no
of the
one.
Console generation. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like the mainstream people, they're not going to play. The mainstream people who bought Twilight Princess and stuff on release, and for me, I thought Twilight Princess was almost garbage.
The game itself was great, but like it just on the Wii, it was so garbage. Like I found myself just wanting to play it on the GameCube with a regular controller.
Yeah, maybe if it was on the GameCube, I would have liked it, but I couldn't even finish it on the Wii. I just
how were the motion controls different?
Well, because this is what I tell my customers at work. Like when you're looking at something like the Wii sans Motion Plus, and you're looking at something like the PlayStation Move, for example, since the Wii is using infrared, which is a very inferior technology. It's very dependent on sitting in the right place, aiming the right way, that kind of thing. When you're using the Motion Plus, like, it's, you can actually, whenever you're aiming with something, if your aiming feels off, you can just press down on the D-pad, and wherever you are currently aiming, it'll center it. So, like, if you're aiming and you find your aim just kind of twisting off to the right, just press down on the D-pad, it'll center it to wherever you're aiming, and then you can work from there.
And the big difference, I think, having not played the game, but from what I've read and know about it, it seems like this whole game was built around the idea of incorporating motion controls. Twilight Princess had motion control pushed onto it.
Yeah, it was developed for the GameCube, and then they were like, well, let's put it on the Wii, too.
Right. I can't wait to play it. I want to get the one with the golden controller.
Yeah, that's the one I got. But... actually, I'm really happy with how I got that, too, because I had the game reserved and everything, and I was going to pick it up, but then my store manager comes back from the store manager's conference that goes on every year, and they get, like, free games to pretty much last you a year. Like, you got Battlefield, Call of Duty, Gears of War, like all the big releases and stuff. But one of the free items was the Skyward Sword bundle. And he was like, well, I know how big a fan you are of Zelda. Here you go, have a free Skyward Sword with Motion Plus.
Wow.
And I was like,
awesome.
Oh, cool, you just saved me $70. And it's cool too, because all the versions of the game right now, be it regular or bundle version, come with like a History of Zelda soundtrack that's like all orchestral and awesome. It's amazing.
Well, apparently I have to buy a Wii now.
Yeah, true story.
So this is the one game, if you play nothing else on the Wii, that you should play?
There were a couple gems in there. Red Steel 2 was really good. The No More Heroes series, well, anything Suda 51 does is pretty
right.
good, but No More Heroes was awesome. I really enjoyed the Fire Emblem on the Wii, but I'm a huge strategy game guy, so that was just really nice for me to see the first direct sequel in the Fire Emblem series, which was cool. Game Informer gave it really bad scores, and it pissed me off, because all the reasons they quoted for disliking the game are the reasons I liked the game. It was the first time I've ever sent an angry email to Game Informer.
Did you get it published?
No, sadly.
You let your nerd rage show.
Exactly, my nerd rage just shone through, man. But other than that, yeah, there's really not much reason to own a Wii. Like, there are a couple really solid titles, but nothing that is worth going out and buying a $100 console for.
So what I got from this is to be an assistant manager at GameStop.
Yeah, pretty much. Hoping to be a store manager within the year, so...
assistant, or work your way up to get to being a manager so you can get all that extra stuff from going to conferences.
Pretty much. I mean, it's if you can get into GameStop, if any of the four of us get into GameStop, it's not that hard to do well. I mean, you have to be customer service oriented, you have to be decent at sales, and you have to know how to do store operations, like, you know, shipping stuff out and whatnot. But I mean, I got...
Like, show up on time.
Yeah, like, well, that too, but like shipping stuff out and like processing stuff and all the paperwork, basically. I got from new hire to assistant manager within 9 months, and it's not that hard if you know what you're doing. Like, my store manager has been with the company like a year and a half. He skipped third key holder altogether and went straight to assistant manager. And then I think his first day as a store manager was actually Black Ops release day.
But that was fun.
Let's trial by fire, I suppose.
I'll have to send you guys pictures of the Modern Warfare 3 Midnight at my store. Oh my god, it was so epic. Like, we had about 500 people show up, which is about 200 more than we were expecting because we're a slower store. One of our other employees is a DJ, so we had him DJing the whole night. We had four big screen TVs from Rent-A-Center because we always partner up with them. So Rent-A-Center gave us TVs for a tournament. We actually had a little shooting gallery with an airsoft gun on the corner. I was managing that. We basically just had a little target, and whoever won got the big cardboard standee for Call of Duty. That was really cool.
But it had like a million holes in it from everyone shooting it, right?
No, it was just like a little like sticky target for BBs, basically. But we had, Monday we partner up with this local little like restaurant called Gridiron. We do Madden Mondays over there. Like, basically the dude, we lend him a couple of 360s. They play Madden. He does tournaments. He gives out jerseys, that kind of thing. But we partner up with them, so they hooked us up with a bunch of large cheese pizzas, which was pretty cool. So we really didn't pay anything for this whole thing, and it ended up being a huge blast. And we did something similar for Battlefield, and I guess word of mouth just spread like wildfire all across like Phoenixville, Warriorsford, and Spring City. So we had so many people show up. Like, I have pictures of lines wrapping around behind my store, behind the other part behind my store, and then behind the grocery store next door.
Your GameStop already sounds better than every GameStop I've ever been to.
We have a lot of fun. I mean, it helps that I'm really creative and I like coming up with events like this. So our store manager is really creative too, and he always has really cool ideas. Our store is awesome because we do so much fun stuff. Like Skyrim Midnight was cool. We did a choose your own adventure kind of thing. Like one of the other Matt Moyer, one of the other store districts in our store managers in the district. Sorry. Made up this cool, you know those books they used to have that was like, pick your own adventure, like, flip to this page if you do this, flip to this page if you do this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was basically one of those, but I was reading it out loud, and like, it was basically, you know, put your hand up if you're choice A, leave your hand down if you're choice B, and no one made it past the fourth choice. Because it was like, you know, there's a werewolf, you know, what do you do? I mean, it was more complicated than that, but it was like, there's a werewolf, it's in your path, what do you do? And it was A, run, B, fight it. Every single person chose to fight it, and they all died.
Have you been playing anything else cool?
Well, Skyrim, of course, until my Xbox broke. Couple 3DS games, Shin Megami Tensei, Devil Survivor, Overclocked, the game with the longest name in history.
Isn't that basically just Devil Survivor again? With like,
yeah, but they added another day, which is kind of cool, because that adds, you know, a good 5 to 10 hours of gameplay, depending on how quick you are. But, I mean, the game's phenomenal. They really didn't add too much for the 3DS version. I mean, they added... The only time the 3D is actually on is when you're, like, combining monsters, and it has this really cool 3D overlay of the monsters combining. But, yeah, it's basically a glorified version of Devil Survivor, which is not to take away from it, because it's a phenomenal game, and it's really the only RPG for 3DS owners. The new Super Mario is great, the new Mario Kart's awesome, of course. Super Mario is actually phenomenal. It's the only game on the 3DS so far that has legitimately used the 3D as a gameplay mechanic rather than, you know, a gimmick to make the graphics look better. It's nothing short of amazing. Like, there'll be times where if you have the 3D off, you won't notice blocks that you can stand on because they'll blend in with other blocks behind them. But if you have the 3D on, you're like, oh, geez, there's another block there that I can jump on.
So the game basically requires you to have a headache to beat it.
Okay, a lot of people say that about the 3D. I experienced a headache for like 2 hours when I first started playing and have not experienced it since. Plus, you can adjust the level of 3D to suit your own eyesight. So a lot of people have complained about headaches, but then I'm like, hey, try tweaking the 3D, and then they come back and like, oh, wow, that really worked, thank you. And I'm like, yeah.
So yeah, maybe if you play on like full blast.
Full blast?
Full 3D blast. I did that with Virtua Fighter.
What are you playing on? Oh, full blast. I have it all turned up to full blast.
Yeah, like I found the people that wear glasses need to put it at about halfway. I don't know why, but... pretty much 98% of the time people wear glasses and complain about headaches. I'm like, put the 3D down to about halfway, and it works, so. But, oh yeah, that's right, Resident Evil Revelations on the 3D. I've been hearing a lot about that, and it's supposed to be the other big 3D game. Like, it's what did I read on IGN? They were saying, you know, a lot of people that play big games like this don't want to play it on a handheld because you feel, well, you know, this isn't a game that you can just play on the go like any other handheld game. This is a game that requires a lot of depth and putting time into it, so why make it on a handheld as opposed to a home console release?
Right.
Yeah. They're saying Revelations actually pleases both sides of the equation. Like, you end up being able to get checkpoints pretty often, and they have, like, an episodic feature to it, where, like, every time you get to an episode, it gives you a recap of what happened last time, so if you put your 3DS down and don't play for a while, you can still pick right up and play, which is nice. And they're saying the 3D actually does work pretty nicely. It gives a lot of depth to the aiming and such, which has always been kind of an issue in Resident Evil. And it goes back to the horror roots, which is what really appeals to me. Because as much as I loved RE4 and RE5, they were action games. They weren't Resident Evil games. But this one, it says it goes right back to that horror formula that RE2 and 3 made so famous.
Well, until they do the fixed camera, I don't think they'd go back to the beginning at all.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm waiting for Resident Evil. But they probably will never do
that. Yeah, that'll never happen.
No,
I, for one, have never been a fan of the fixed camera, but, you know.
But Revelations does look really good, though. I really want that game.
Yeah, it looks pretty solid. And it's going to be one of the titles that uses that new second joystick peripheral that they're putting out on the 3DS, which I think is going to compact in with Monster Hunter 3D, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm, yeah.
The thing that looks so very sexy on top of your 3DS?
You'd, like, hook it into... Yeah, that's so dumb. I don't know why they didn't
come
out with
it. But as dumb as it is, think about it. Like, how many of you guys are actually... Like, for me, I play handheld games just sitting in my room most of the time.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's not like I'm out somewhere and it's like I got to pull this huge peripheral and slap it on there. So it's really... It looks stupid, I agree. And it's kind of big, but whatever.
The thing that bothers me so much about it, and this is probably something no one other than GameStop employees would have thought of, you know, especially not hardcore gamers. Like, you guys are, you know, you're people that take care of your systems, you're gamers, you know how to take care of your stuff. But kids, like, they always get, like, the Nerf armor for their 3DSs and their DSs and stuff.
With that armor
on the DS, you can't fit the peripheral on it unless there's something I'm missing. So it just really seems like it's going to divide the 3DS ownership. Like, there's going to be all the kids, because every single time I sell a 3DS, the first thing I mention to the moms and dads or whatever is, well, you know, how careful is your kid with this stuff? You know, we sell this Nerf armor, blah, blah, blah. And 9 times out of 10, they go with it because they're like, oh, yeah, my kid does drop stuff. And I'm like, well, you know, the warranty is void if they actually break the system as opposed to a hardware failure. And they're like, okay, I need that. Throw it on.
I guess the big thing is how many games are actually start adopting this second control stick configuration.
There's already 4 or 5 that I can think of that have confirmed it. Resident Evil's one, Monster Hunter's one, Metal Gear Solid 3 is one. There's another one that I can't remember off the top of my head, but there are a couple that are adopting it pretty quickly. I don't think it's going to be a requirement for all of them, but most of them it's going to be. Well, like,
that'll be the big difference, though. Like, whether
playing
it's
a game
requirement
like Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater, like the original one. So many people complained about the camera that they re-released it as subsistence, and they put that second joystick camera movement. And since then, they've done that with MGS4 and whatnot, and you really can't think of going back to a time where you didn't have second analog camera control. So I'm pretty sure it's a requirement for that one, just because people are going to be like, wow, with this tiny little nub of a joystick, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do this.
I mean, if Nintendo's history is any indication, I'm sure we'll see another iteration of a 3DS anyway with a second joystick somewhere down the line.
Oh yeah, we still have the 3DS Lite to go through, and then the 3DSi, and then the 3DSi XL, so we'll be good.
I remember when you first got I was over at your house, Dylan, and you had a 3D, or you had a regular DS, and I didn't have it at the time. I remember just looking at it. I've seen screenshots and whatnot, but just holding your hands, it's just kind of like, is this like a prototype or something? This thing is the ugliest thing I have ever held.
Yeah, the original DS was pretty clunky. But that thing could take a beating, let me tell you. I read an article on in EGM at the time, Electronic Gaming Monthly, and they did this whole article on the durability of the original DS. It was like, okay, we tested dropping it in a toilet, dropping it down the stairs, dropping it out a two-story window, throwing it off an airplane, throwing it into space, having Thor hit it with his hammer. And it survived everything but Thor hitting it with his hammer, so it was pretty good.
You could drop in a toilet?
Of all things.
I love the fact that that's the most ridiculous thing you're thinking of. I'm thinking an airplane.
Really? He named Thor. He's not even real.
But dropping it in the toilet, like, that seems something that you would actually do if you're playing when you're pooping. As long as you know that works after that. I mean, the other things, like, you don't even care. You're not going to smash it with a hammer just to see if it works.
Let alone Thor's hammer.
Anyway, so, yeah, any other games, anyone else?
I have been playing The Witcher.
The first
Witcher
one?
Too?
Enhanced Edition. Witcher Enhanced Edition.
The first one, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that game's phenomenal.
Yeah, The Witcher's great.
It's not what I expected. I expected a more hack and slash as opposed to a point and click, if that makes any sense.
The second one's a little different. I think you'll like the second one.
It feels a little bit like KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah, the first one definitely did.
And I'm having the same exact problem that I had with KOTOR, was I was expecting Knights of the Old Republic or KOTOR to be a hack and slash as
what,
opposed
to the BioWare
to
doesn't
a...
make good combat? Anyway.
Yeah. You know.
Except for Dragon Age 2. Dragon Age 2 is awesome.
They make good everything else, but just not good combat. I'll give that. But so I needed to reset my expectations for it. But I'm enjoying it. I just got past the first thing. I had to readjust some graphics things on my computer, but I got it working smoothly.
Oh, I got a good one I played recently. Have you guys ever played Bastion?
A little bit. Just like the demo.
That game was incredible. Like, I would give that game probably a 9.5 or a 10 out of 10. Like, it's a great, cheap, downloadable title. You know,
which is also in Chrome now. You can download it in your browser.
Oh, nice. But I think I paid like 1,200 Microsoft points for it or whatever, and I've played through the entire game twice. Like, the narrative is really well done. I think that was the part that impressed me the most, apart from the art style. But the narrative, it's entirely done by a single narrator, basically. To the point that, like, he's telling the story of what you're doing as you do it. So, you know, if you fall off a ledge, he'll be like, and then, well, the kid's got to be more careful where he steps. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. And, like, when you kill enemies in certain ways, he mentions the specific weapon you're using. It's just a really nice touch, considering the way the story's done. Like, the narrator's the only voice actor for 98% of the game until the very end, when you actually talk to this one other chick, and that's it. Definitely one of the most beautiful games I've ever played.
I also played about 15 seconds of Chrono Cross.
Dude, that game's awesome.
I know. I actually, this is probably going to be a spoiler, but this game is so old. I never beat the game.
That's a spoiler.
There's one part where you have to wager your little dinky boat for passage somewhere, I think. And I was a young idiot back then. The game was actually new when I played it. And, I never knew that the guy was cheating, so I literally sat there for hours upon hours spinning that freaking wheel over and over and over again, trying to figure out where to stop it so that I could beat him at his own game.
That's kind of funny. I think I ended up doing the same thing, and then my one buddy was like, oh, dude, you gotta get turned into a cat. And I was like, oh, that makes sense.
I have no idea what we're talking about now.
You haven't played Chrono Cross, dude?
I own it, and I played a little bit of it, but I wasn't a huge fan of it.
It starts off kind of slow. Like, I remember playing it years and years ago, and I was kind of like, you know, Chrono Trigger is so much better. I don't know if I like
this is me coming off of, like, playing Final Fantasy VII, VIII, and IX, and then going into that. So it's kind of...
I think Chrono Cross is kind of a must-play for anyone who's a fan of any of those style RPGs. Like, it definitely starts off a little slow, like I said, but by the time you get to the end of the first disc, there's this huge plot twist, and you're like, holy crap, it blows your mind. And then once you realize how deep the combat system actually is, like, at first it's kind of confusing, but, like, if you have someone with you that can kind of explain it to you, it's a lot better. It kind of falls into that trap that a lot of the PS1 games did of not explaining things well enough, but it's a solid, solid game. You need to play through it, I think, 3 times to get all the characters in the game. It's just like Chrono Trigger in that there's like 13 different endings depending on when you beat the game, that kind of thing.
Speaking of Chrono Cross, we actually have a What Do You Mean You Haven't Played article up on our website by Ben Novak, so check that out if you want to read more about Chrono Cross. So anyway, Devin, been playing anything interesting?
No.
Or not? All right.
So one thing I do want to mention, though, is the Android Marketplace. They had the 10-cent deals of a bunch of different games and other type of apps that you can get, and there was actually some really good games that came out. I know Minecraft Pocket Edition was only 10 cents, which, I mean, I'm pretty sure some people were a little bit pissed about that for paying like $7 when it first came out, and it's only been out for a little bit, and now so you can get it for 10 cents, but I picked that up and a few other games. There were actually some pretty good games on there. I haven't played much of them, but...
Yeah, I've bought a bunch of those stuff. Because, like, 10 cents, I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I'll buy whatever. Everything. Just, like, buy them all.
I bought a bunch of them, but I haven't installed, like, any of them, and I probably will never play them, but they're there if I ever feel like it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the only game you need on your phone is Angry Birds, anyway.
I don't even play that.
I love that game.
I don't do, like, anything with my smartphone. So, you guys want to go on to our aggravation of the week? Wow.
Yeah, do you have an aggravation, Jared?
Actually, I do have an aggravation to talk about called the VGAs, but not yet. Let's talk about our indie game of the week called Trauma. Trauma is a unique photographic experience by game designer Kristen Medjula. Dive into the mind of a traumatized young woman to learn and understand. That's straight off the website. So basically, it's like a point-and-click adventure game with all photorealistic... well, everything's photorealistic. Is what I'm getting at. And you just use your mouse and you simply move around and you're clicking and you're trying to find different photographs. While you do that, she's also telling stories. There are like four different dreams, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't completed it. I've only played through two of the four stages. So, well, kind of some of the third. What about you guys? How much have you guys done and what do you think of it overall?
I completely cleared the first stage and mostly cleared the second and kind of but I got through the second and third. I played about 30 minutes of it or so doing all that. I liked the game style, though, a lot. It was very different. It was kind of, I don't want to say hard, but at first it was difficult to get used to, if that makes any sense. Like, moving around was kind
of
weird.
It was certainly unique. As someone, I play a lot of adventure games. I love point-and-click adventure games. And there's most point-and-click adventure games have a very similar style to them. And this one, seen as you're in a realistic-looking world, and the way you navigate is a little weird. You don't actually have a character. You're just kind of clicking on the screen. So you move your mouse to one edge or, you know, the top of the screen, whatever, to click to go in that direction, or you can sometimes click and you can spin your current point of view. It may not make sense unless you're actually playing.
You have to draw that on, though. To, like,
yeah,
spin
I was gonna
around.
Say it's, you have to draw to you like draw like a upside down U to turn around, or you draw left, you draw right to go up, you draw down to go back.
You don't always have to do that, you know.
No, but I was just saying that's
one. Yeah, that's another mechanic special... you can do. You kind of paint. Different symbols that do different things, like you said, turn around or go left or right or back out of something.
And there's a couple different symbols that are specifically like kind of ending related. When you draw them in the right place, it kind of shows you an ending for that level. And there's five different endings per level, I believe, four or five. But it, I mean, it was cool. I definitely enjoy the uniqueness of it.
Well, I only played probably like 45 minutes to an hour, and I only got all the regular endings, and I could never get more than like 6 or 7 out of 9 photos every time. I didn't really search for them all either, but I clicked as many places I could, every new place that I could until I got to the end. I only got like one alternate ending. The alternate endings were kind of disappointing, though. They didn't really mean much of anything.
No, they were just kind of pointless completely. I don't know. I guess maybe if you get all of the endings, you get something special, but we don't know.
I also, as far as the pictures go, usually when you find a picture, it's a picture of like you when you were a kid or maybe like a teenager or something like that, and you're doing something, I don't know, like cutting a cake at your birthday or something, and then there's a little voiceover of her talking about her childhood. But some of the pictures were just like tutorial things of like, do this to turn left or do this to turn around, and that kept reoccurring the more, like, every single level that you played, they always had the same tutorial pictures in there. I thought that was kind of weird.
My favorite picture was, I wanted to be a plumber when I was younger. My parents didn't approve. Just thought that was, like, really weird, like, and creepy, but funny, too.
Yeah, I like her tone. It's almost almost creepy at times. Because, like, if you played the very first one, the first line she says is like, this is my dream where I try to get my teddy bear out from under this giant rock or something like that. It's just like, what am I playing?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. I was like, what the crap did Jared make me play?
It was all acceptable, though, because it was a dream, right? I mean, they could have done whatever they wanted.
Sure, yeah.
And you'd be like, oh, you're just in a dream, or you're in a, whatever, a coma, I guess you'd say.
what it looked like was you had a car accident and you were going through some sort of mental therapy to get over whatever permanent, semi-permanent damage you would have from the car accident.
I don't get it. I know you haven't beaten Jared, but you have Brian. What the heck was the ending about? Like, I didn't really get it.
Basically, it was her going home. I mean, that was her. It was her. Oh, hooray! I've recovered. Now I get to go live my crappy life.
I did not get that. I did not really get that at all.
Well, it kind of made sense, but it was just like all that stuff you're doing was just you doing what you're doing to get through your physical therapy or mental therapy or whatever therapy was.
Well, there's a lot of different aspects she deals with, like the loss of her parents and like her self-identity and stuff like that throughout the. At least that's what that's supposed to imply about a lot of the stuff you hear. What do you guys think of games like this? Just in general, obviously not every game you would ever want to play would be like this. But
well, it only took me 45 minutes, so I would only pay about $5 for it.
Well, not even price. Who cares about price? Just
I'd only pay
whatever. Factor price out of it. What do you feel? What do you think about games of this nature? It's almost less of a game, but more of an interactive storybook, I guess, in some ways.
Do you mean like point and click adventures in general, or?
Yeah, I mean, there's not so much puzzles in this one as much as most point-and-clicks have, but it is story heavy. I mean, there's not like a lot of cutscenes and tons of dialogue, but it's still very atmospheric and very story heavy. Was that interesting to you guys at all?
It was certainly really cool.
I was happy to have the experience of playing the game.
I mean, it completely made sense, though. I mean, you just clicked on pictures, and it's kind of like a frame. Like, you know, there's just frames that were in this girl's mind as a dream of what she could remember, or even if she couldn't remember something, just something that she made up in her subconscious or something like that. So it was kind of neat.
It was like, I don't know if you guys ever had a dream, and it was like certain dreams, like you always have. Have you ever had a dream?
I have dream every night.
But you have like certain places in your dreams, and like not the same night, but different weeks and different years, you'll have like that same, you go back to that same place. Does that make any sense at all?
No, that actually does make sense.
Okay. And I think that was kind of how it was, except this woman was a photographer. That was one of her passions, and that's why you're navigating through photos. So, like, because some of the stuff, like, had a tie into her past. So, her dreams were relating to her past, but were reoccurring for her as well.
Even if she wasn't a photographer, it made sense to have that, just like, just pieces of your memory that you could go back to whenever you were just laying in a hospital from a terrible car wreck or something. So that was kind of cool. I don't know how else they would put it in like other stories and stuff. But if they could figure out a way, I would certainly play some more of those.
This particular game intrigues me. Like, I'm gonna definitely have to try this because I don't know. You guys are talking about it. So from what I gather from what you're saying, it's basically about a photographer who lived through a traumatic car accident.
Well, I don't know if we specifically find out she's in a car accident, but you can play the game, or not a car accident. I don't know if she's specifically actually a photographer. Does it say that somewhere?
I didn't know that either.
Because there was a bunch of pictures of a camera along with in the intro, and so I kind of got that out of it.
But that kind of intrigued me as someone who has lived through a traumatic car accident. I think I would be able to identify with that.
It says, a story of a young woman who survives a car accident, recovering at the hospital. She has dreams that shed light on different aspects of her identity, such as the way she deals with the loss of her parents.
That was very symbolic then, because I mean, I didn't really get that much out of how she was dealing with her parents, other than little pictures and stuff that she was saying.
A lot of it's ambiguous, and this is definitely more of an art game, I guess you would say. Or at least it's dealing with a more sensitive...
Jared, games can't be art.
Artistic view, I guess. A lot of it's not, you know, blatantly explained. I think a lot of it you have to read into it, or, you know, maybe interpret it your own way. But you can play it free, which I was completely unaware. But you can buy it on Steam for pretty cheap. But you can play it free at traumagame.com.
I wish it was longer, actually. It just seemed really short. You could probably beat it. You could definitely beat it in like 15 minutes.
Well, I don't know about 15 minutes.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It seemed really short. You could the main story, just like. Even if you didn't collect like any pictures,
if you just
want to
finish the level, but if you want to find more, like find all the pictures and understand a little bit more, then it would take longer to do that.
Once you get the hang of how to like move around and click on the pictures,
this is the kind of game that you would never want to do that though. I mean, like the main story is almost the side quest to actually looking around and experiencing the world.
Yeah, I think you're ruining your experience if you just want to plow through it. Plus, yeah, like if you don't have the time to like, you know, spend like 30 minutes to an hour on a unique indie game like this, then...
Well, I don't know, man. You couldn't spend 10 minutes on it, so.
Hey, I finished 2 levels and got every photo. And I got 6.
You got every photo?
Yeah, I got 6 out of 9 photos in the 3rd level. I was trying to get every single photo before I moved on because I wanted to get every little thing I could.
Yeah, with a game that short, you kind of want to milk it for all it's worth.
Yeah, I just want to see everything I can. It's really interesting, so.
I thought there was going to be more levels. I mean, when you open up the main screen, you see the 4 cuts of what the levels are. I didn't know if there was going to be like another section after that. I didn't know it was going to be over.
Just wait till the expansion, man. Just wait till the expansion.
Yeah. There's a new game plus. You just restarted and there's more photos.
It's going to be called Trauma Shivering Isles.
Trauma Plus.
the Trauma Isles.
Trauma Reckoning. Trauma Origins.
Trauma Revelations.
Before the car wreck. So yeah, that's cool. Well, we don't know what we're playing next week. Oh wait, maybe we do. I have some ideas. So anyway, you guys want to move on to some news in the video game world about video games and news. Devin, do you have a lot of crap that's pertinent?
Pertinent.
Well, that's a good word. I like that.
I don't know.
Good use of pertinent. Good use of pertinent. What about, have you guys talked about the Vita at all?
What about the Vita? We talked about that a lot, actually.
What really? Specifically?
Well, just, you know, its existence and whatnot. Because it looks pretty amazing.
How annoying it is, how much you're going to be spending if you actually buy
it. Yeah, how
Vita?
Much you're going to be spending on it?
It's going to be a lot, but I mean, for me, that seems worth it. Like, just all the stuff you can do with it's really nice. They're talking about some really nice package deals if you pre-order it, stuff like that.
Are you promoting pre-ordering a GameStop on our podcast?
Well, I mean, pre-ordering in general is a good idea. It doesn't, like, affect our rankings or anything, so it doesn't matter if you pre-order a game, but...
Really? It doesn't matter if you pre-order a game at GameStop?
It used to. They took it off the ranking report.
Oh, so then you shouldn't be as pressured to get it, like, every time I go into a GameStop, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. We took that off the ranking report. Now it's based more on sales.
Well, thank God, because that's one thing I hate.
Yeah, it always really bothered me, because it's like... I remember, okay, back when you met me, Jared, and I was working at EB Games for a very brief stint, the thing that annoyed the heck out of me was the fact that every single customer, I had to be like, okay, so you're buying this game. Did you want to put a warranty on the game? Did you want to reserve a game? Did you want to get our discount card? Did you want to take this cat
home
with
you? No, I would like
to
stop shopping here. Yeah, you.
Actually, I'm just going to leave.
But yeah, it's a lot nicer now. Like where it's the thing I like especially about my district manager is that he's so customer service oriented. He will do anything to make a customer happy, and it's at the point now where he always tells this one story that I love to new hires. It's like the reason why we want to pitch as many accessories as possible when someone's buying a new system. It's not so that the company can make more money. It's like when he was in college, I guess, and the PS1 came out, he walked 2 miles to Walmart and got a PS1 because it was the closest place to him. He got home, and his TV had an old RF adapter. It didn't have an AV input, so they didn't tell him that it didn't come with an RF adapter, because every single system previous to that has always come with an RF adapter. And, like, he got there, two-mile walk back, realized he didn't have the necessary components to play the system, and he got really pissed. He never went back to Walmart again because of that. So, you know, stuff like that, it's we make sure that the customers lead with what they need, not that the company makes more money. Because GameStop's a multi-billion-dollar corporation. We don't need your money. We're just trying to make sure you have what you need, you know?
I would say that your GameStop is probably the exception. Or at least one of the few ones that... There's most GameStops that I walk into that I know don't always follow that same philosophy.
There are a lot that don't. I think a district manager does have a lot to do with it. But our new regional director, too, I forget how far our region goes. But you got to figure if a district is like 13 stores and then a region is like 14 districts, that's a lot of stores. But it really depends a lot on the mentality of your specific district manager or regional director. Ours is much more personable, so we get lucky. I have been to some stores that are really, really bad with stuff like that.
Like everyone where I live.
Really? That's like, you gotta come out to Phoenixville, man.
It's unfortunate. So the VGAs happened last night.
Oh yeah, let's move on to that.
I watched those.
I wanted to.
You didn't miss much. The only thing... Okay, I'm going to try to keep as calm as I can about this whole thing without going on a huge rant and getting angry. But Spike TV and the VGAs is the dumbest thing that has ever been created. I hate it. It is everything about video games and the portrayal of gamers that you don't want people to see. Here's just a teaser. They literally teabag people on stage twice.
Oh my god.
And one of them was a developer.
What?
You gotta be kidding me.
They teabag who?
I'll get into that. First of all, have you guys ever seen the show Chuck? Well, if you haven't, there's a TV show called Chuck, and the main host on there is Zachary Levy or something like that. He hosted the VGAs this year. So he's an all right guy. He's a better host than most people that have hosted over the years.
Oh, wow. That actually just clicked with me. Zach Levi from Chuck. Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. The only problem is he kind of has he may play games, but he doesn't really understand the culture as much as he thinks he does. Because it's one of those things where, like, hey guys, we're all dorks and we don't shower and we're living in our mom's basements and we're lazy and, you know.
That only applies to you, Jerry.
You know we're gamers, and you know we miss work because we don't want to, you know, we want to play games and we're lazy. Just that whole mentality, it's really stupid.
Well, now to be fair, my store manager did seriously consider quitting his job on Skyrim.
Well, I understand. Like, we all feel that, and we all like. Well,
oh yeah,
I quit my job.
I took off work
a week before Skyrim, although it was for other reasons. The thought did cross my mind in the process of me quitting. Yeah, you know, guess this is awesome. I'm going to play Skyrim.
Yeah, well, who cares? There's a lot of things that cross my mind that I never in my lifetime will do. So, I mean, unless you take action, I mean, who really cares?
Of course, I actually quit my job, and while I'm quitting it, I was saying, this will be good. I'll be able to actually play Skyrim.
Well, there's nothing wrong with, like, taking off and stuff like that. But, like, they're just making it out to be, like, a negative portrayal of gamers in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this is something... I'm not looking for this to be, like, the Oscars, but... This is, they made it so childish and so pathetic and so far from serious to recognizing this medium as a serious medium that has things important to say and important to do, and made it more of a, like, just a circus. It was ridiculous.
Kind of like everything G4 does, basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So, this is 2 hours long. It was 42 minutes before they gave out an award.
Good lord.
And this is an award show.
It is an award show, yes.
All the people that were given the awards are too busy playing Skyrim to give awards.
On stage, I think they gave out 3 awards. There was like 15 categories, and only 3 were given out. Like, people came up and they were allowed to talk for a very short amount of time. And if you went over, this little buzzer went off, and this army guy came up and teabagged you.
What?
And so at the beginning of the show, they showed it off. The guy did it to Zachary Levy, or whatever his name is. So, you know, it's going to be a good one when, like, in the first 5 minutes, there's a guy teabagging another guy on national television. You know, this is like an upset.
That's terrible.
You wonder why people don't take video games seriously? This is why. You have people teabagging people on television.
Yeah, that is not what the game industry needs.
I'm not going to get angry.
Don't do it, bro.
So then they teabagged a developer, and I can't... Let's see if I put in my notes. I can't remember who it was. But anyway, that's completely disrespectful. It's insane that they would even do that.
They can show that on TV?
Well, it was just a guy squatting, you know.
Yeah. Well, how close was his guy's face off?
Oh, it was close.
Really?
Like,
could you, like, stick
sure
your tongue
you
out and,
smell.
And lick it
yeah.
a little bit? Okay.
Absolutely. It was too close for comfort.
I need to see
it
this, then.
It was ridiculous.
You said there was only 3 awards the whole entire time?
There were 3 ones given out that people actually came up and could say something, but it was really short. And then there was this other montage that happened real quick where they named off like 6 to 8 of them. And it was like a quick, like, I thought it was a commercial at first because they just like, they're like, best game with a motion control. And they just say it, best game with whatever. And then they just did all those real quick. And then they went back to the show. Most of the show consisted of Zachary Levy making crappy, like, quote unquote nerd jokes. And then you had Felicia Day there, who was raising Child's Play is a great organization and stuff, but I don't need to see Felicia Day cutting up watermelons and jumping on Velcro walls and stuff like that.
Is this a game show or what?
Yeah, I'm not watching Double Dare. I'm here to watch an award show to see the people who have worked hard all year to create these great video games
get recognized
be rewarded.
To create works of art, essentially.
Yeah, they work so hard and they create this art, and you have these people just making this ridiculous joke.
It's a mockery, is what it is.
Absolutely. As a gamer, when you watch an award show, who do you want to see come out and give the awards? Do you want to see LL Cool J or Will.i.am come out, or would you rather see people like big name developers like Todd Howard, Shigeru Miyamoto?
Yeah, honestly, stuff like I'd be that. Happy with just seeing like Nolan North go out there and give an award, yeah. You know, something like that, someone related to the game industry,
like other award shows do, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. Charlie Sheen was there. LL Cool J.
What the? Well, I guess he's Charlie a winner. Sheen, so
are they just reaching out to like celebrities that play a video game once in their life?
That's the only gig Charlie Sheen can get now is the VGAs.
Pretty much. Why. I actually just watched the roast of Charlie Sheen today, and it was hilarious.
Yeah, it actually was pretty good. But yeah, why is Charlie Sheen up there? Because he was popular this year for being absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it sounds
that's
right,
great.
Right.
But we're not. But apparently, this is why Spike doesn't.
Was the situation
to,
there?
I don't know. He wasn't on stage.
Oh man,
I hope not.
But yeah, LL Cool J, Will.i.am, stuff like that. Some other guys that I don't even know.
And who was that performer?
Deadmau5 and the Black Keys. Which Black Keys are cool.
Who?
Black Keys, they're awesome.
They're cool. But wouldn't it be cool to have someone that or have them play
like Anna Monoguchi or something like that?
Yeah, maybe something
wouldn't
like
that.
Would
that be freaking awesome if they were
like
playing
the Black Mages up there to do their stuff? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
It'd be incredible. Or just even have if you have someone like the Black Keys, why don't you have them maybe play something that maybe like one of the popular songs from a game that came out that year? And then you had Deadmau5 DJing in between, which Deadmau5 is cool and all, but
you could have like Ellen McClain like do something with her and her voice. And like, because she's a good singer too.
So many things they could have done.
Like, even I would have loved to have seen like Gary Jules get up there and do his cover of Mad World that was in Gears of War 3. That would have been incredible, and it would have been related to the industry.
Yeah, there's all the stuff they could have done that could have been not completely dorky. I mean, the Black Keys and Deadmau5 weren't dorky, but it's just like, why are they here? What do they have to do with this?
For the most part, if you were just flipping through the channels and you stumbled upon this VGA or the award show, most of the time, you wouldn't even know it was about video games.
Probably not. Most of it, I mean, you would know it's about video games, but you wouldn't know it's an award show because it wasn't an award show at all. There was Twitter was going crazy because Jeff Keighley works for Spike and Game Trailers, and Jeff Keighley has been an amazing journalist and has been one of the best journalists in the industry who has done so many incredible things that I don't have time to go over now, but people were like destroying him on Twitter because like this was not something that you would expect from Jeff Keighley in general from doing the award show there. And it was terrible.
So did he like direct it?
I don't know what his particular role was, but he certainly helped in the making of it. And he was going back and forth with different people on Twitter. And give me a second here. I have a couple things that I retweeted and I wanted to save to Express. Basically, people wrote that expresses it the best way that it could possibly be put.
How can I get a hold of this? I don't have cable to watch it. Is it on? I couldn't even find it
YouTube?
To download.
Look in the toilet.
The whole thing's on YouTube?
I don't know. It might be. So, Alex Navarro tweeted, "Hey, Jeff Keighley, I really want to like this year's show. I wanted to believe you. I can't. I won't. This is awful." Jeff Keighley said, "Sorry to hear that. What would you do differently?" Alex Navarro said, "I might start by allowing the people who make the games you're supposed to be awarding, like, I don't know, speak."
Yeah, I don't really speak.
Some other ones. This is the best one that anyone wrote. It's from Justin McElroy, works for Joystick, does the My Brother, My Brother and Me podcast. But he wrote, "The VGAs are made for a non-existent guy who watches a video game award show yet knows nothing about them."
Hey.
This just sums up everything.
Poignant statement there.
There's basically everything about that whole entire show was like, it's like it wasn't for the industry. It's like for a bunch of people who don't know what video games are.
Yeah, what is the audience on that one? Like, you're not going to watch the video game award show if you don't care about video games, but
I have no idea. Another one wrote, "It is a legitimate tragedy that our industry allows Charlie Sheen to be on the same stage as Shigeru Miyamoto." I agree.
Oh, that's very, very true.
I'll agree with that about 100%. By the way, did you hear that Miyamoto's stepping down at Nintendo?
That's not actually true.
Oh, really?
That was misquoted in Wired. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. He was just saying that he's kind of changing. He's not changing his role either. He just kind of wants to focus more on training the newer people coming in and kind of work on newer IPs.
He wanted to work on his own games, or like smaller games himself.
Like his own stuff, yeah. I mean, to me, that's the same as stepping down. Like, the figurehead of Nintendo isn't going to be the figurehead anymore.
Well, he's still the figurehead. He's still going to do what he's doing, but he also wants to start doing newer stuff, which I applaud, because Shigeru Miyamoto has a great mind. I want to see new things from him.
That's
I don't
true.
Want another Zelda. I mean, Zelda's great. Mario's great. But come on, we need new stuff. What was the last new thing? Pikmin, maybe?
Yeah, I think that might be nice.
Like, we need new stuff from Shigeru Miyamoto's mind.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
One more, one or two more. Ben Kachera from Ars Technica wrote, "Plenty of things are crap. That's not a big deal. What's so offensive about the VGAs is people think that particular crap appeals to gamers." Another one from Justin McRoy. "Tonight, VGA winners will be teabagged because it's the awesomest metaphor for our whole show ever."
Wow.
And Jim Sterling, everyone knows him, very outspoken. He wrote in all capitals, "Hey gamers, teabagging the health bar is LOL Bioshock. Whoa!"
Bioshock, whoa! So who were the people who actually did get to take the stage tonight? That night and talk?
Someone some of the developers from Call of Duty, from Infinity Ward. Shigeru Miyamoto got inducted into whatever the video game Hall of Fame is. If that's run by Spike or whoever, then that has no credit whatsoever. But he got an award for that. I can't remember. Maybe someone else. It was, Mike Morhaime and someone else from Blizzard, because they were showing off the Diablo 3 trailer. Then they took the stage for an award and then showed off the Diablo 3 trailer. But if you want a real award show, watch the Inside Gaming Daily award show. It's from Machinima.
Oh, nice.
And it's much, much classier to some extent.
Well, anything's more classy than this, apparently.
Yeah, really.
At that point.
That's about as low class as you can get.
It definitely is in the right direction of what something like this needs. It's not that we need an Oscars. It's not that I'm looking for validation from the outside world to like, oh, your medium's really, a serious medium. I don't need that from other people. What I need is the people who are supposed to be a part of this industry and supposed to love this industry is to treat it with respect and not make a mockery and a joke and act like we're all little kids and dorks and stuff like that. That's offensive, I think. It's like Ben Kachera said, the most offensive thing is that people think that this appeals to gamers,
yeah.
And it doesn't.
You know, you say you don't need validation for the medium. I kind of do. I mean, I've been a gamer since I was like 2 years old. I've been working in the game industry for like a year and a half now. I've been into the gaming culture pretty much my whole life, not just playing video games, but appreciating them for what they are. I mean, in my eyes, video games are, at least a well-done video game is pretty much the purest form of art, because not only do you take the music aspect of art, but you're also taking the visual aspect of art and the storytelling aspect of art. And really everything that is considered art is in a video game. And
right.
It just really annoys the crap out of me when I have like grandpas in my store that are buying games for their kids, and I'm like talking about the game for a couple seconds, you know, just telling them why it's cool and why their kid's gonna like it or why their grandkid's gonna like it. And they're like, oh, you know, I don't play this crap. Games are stupid, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, it's not like it affects me, but it would be nice for people to just kind of at least respect it for what it is, as opposed to, you know, exactly what you were saying earlier about like, oh, all gamers living in their parents' basements and stuff like that. Like, no, everyone plays video games. I don't care if it's, you know, your grandma sitting down and playing solitaire at the computer, or if it's, you know, someone addicted to World of Warcraft, or if it's, you know, me sitting in my apartment playing Uncharted 3. Like, everyone plays some sort of video game, and I just think with something that's this inundated into the culture at this point, it should at least be respected, you know?
No, yeah, no, I it's not that I don't want the respect of non-gamers in some extent. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who look at games as kiddie, but don't look at movies as kiddie.
Right.
But at the same time, they don't see them as an art form. They don't take it, you know, that serious. They just see it as entertainment and nothing more. So, I mean, their opinion to me doesn't really matter. But I understand what you're coming from. I mean, even what I'm trying to do here, you know, build this podcast and our other podcasts and the website and build that up and, you know, hopefully do this for a full time job at some point in my life. It's nice for other people to look at it and recognize the hard work and the seriousness that I put into this and how important this actually is, how important this industry is to me, and how important it is to our culture. But the bigger thing is I have a problem with people who were already a part of that culture not taking it. It's not like we always have to be super serious and all that stuff all the time, but why do people in our culture, in our own gaming industry, look at games and just say, like, well, they're just games and they're just stupid waste of time. They're just, you know, that's all they are. Like Jim Sterling said, like, health bar, like, because Zachary Levy made this joke one time about, like, his health was low and he went through and, like, drank, like, a potion. Which, by the way, he drank a blue potion, and blue potion's typically for mana.
Yeah.
And red potion would be for health.
Nerd rage.
And he had, yeah. And he had, like, a health pack and stuff like that. And it's just, like, I get the joke that's there, but
it's not funny.
It's, yeah, and in this situation, you wouldn't see someone at the Oscars just making all these dumb jokes. It's just, they don't take it seriously within our own. I mean, Zachary's not even part of, I wouldn't even say he's not part of the industry. I'd rather see people who are part of the industry host it and you know, be around every aspect of it. Because we don't care about LL Cool J and stuff like that. And that's what's most offensive to me, is that people in our own industry just don't take it serious.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I guess if they have to have a rapper, they might as well have, like, 50 Cent, because at least he had a video game, albeit terrible.
True. Two things that I think. One is that since it is an entertainment medium, yeah, it does not need to be taken super seriously. But there are people that get really into movies and really into books and just art in general, to the extent where, you know, people will swear by a movie. Like, people will be like, oh my god, this movie changed my life. And the same can be said of video games. There are games that really open your perspectives. Like, look at BioShock, for example. Yeah, they're playing off of an idea by an author named Ayn Rand, which I thought was kind of clever because they named the main antagonist Andrew Ryan, which is kind of a play on Ayn Rand. But the whole idea behind the book Atlas Shrugged is very prevalent in BioShock, and you look at that and you think, wow, it really opens your eyes as to how a society like that would flourish and function and how it would fall apart. But the second thing is, I think it, you know, as far as, you know, respecting the medium and whatnot, it's not so much a celebration of gaming. I don't think it should be, like, gaming as a culture. I think it should be a celebration of the people that created these games. Like, you look at all the companies, like, you look at Ubisoft, you look at Activision, you look at Blizzard, any of these companies, they're kind of the unsung heroes. Like, they put all this time into creating a game, and all people talk about is the game, not thinking, like, oh, you know, it's really clever what this person did when they went through this experience in their life, and this is why they put it in the game. Whereas with directors of movies, they talk about that kind of stuff all the time. Like, interviews with Spielberg, he'll be like, well, you know, I thought this would go well in the game because I went through this experience in my childhood, and I really identified with it. And people just don't see that with games as much, because they're kind of on the back burner.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, everything you said. It's certainly in this one, the developers didn't, the few times the developers got to come up on stage, they weren't even allowed to talk long, because if they did, they were teabagged. Really?
Yeah, and that's completely ludicrous.
I know, like, it angers me to no end, just this whole situation.
I think there are some people that needed to be teabagged, but not the developers. At least not the ones winning awards.
The worst part are the people who are supporting it. Like, I'm watching Twitter, and people are just like, best VGA ever, and all this
best
stuff.
Best VGA.
But of course, a lot of them were saying, like, Call of Duty won best shooter or whatever, best VGAs ever, you know, stuff like that. It's like, shut up. These awards mean nothing. They mean nothing.
That's kind of like that. That's funny. You mentioned Call of Duty and meaning nothing. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but the whole controversy on Metacritic about Battlefield and Call of Duty.
No.
It was interesting. Basically, someone at IGN noticed that on Metacritic, the critically acclaimed reviewers and whatnot, they were giving it fair scores. They gave them both good scores. Whereas when you looked at the user reviews, both Battlefield and Call of Duty were scoring below 4 altogether.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember this.
Yeah, basically, apparently what happened was there were all the Battlefield hardcore people that were giving Battlefield a 10 and then Call of Duty a 1, and then the same was going the opposite way. Basically, the one guy at IGN apparently sat down and went through all the Metacritic user reviews and basically discounted anyone who gave one game above a 7 and the other game below a 4. And it actually evened out, so both games got about a 9, 9.5. I thought that was really interesting. But it's exactly the same thing. It's making a mockery of our culture. Like, if you're going to be a fanboy, then don't review.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
It's just, yeah, like you said, I mean, some games can be taken super serious, and other ones like, you know, Geometry Wars is just stupid fun. But regardless, even something like Geometry Wars deserves respect for what it's done and you know, the fun that it's created. And the developers, even though they're not like, you know, they're talking about like this aspect of the story, I did this because of this reason in my life, they can just say, you know, you could give them an award for whatever, Geometry Wars, I don't know, only good Xbox 360 launch game.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, and they can still go up there and talk about it and still accept the award and still be recognized for what they've done without having, you know, the game's not super serious, but still you're respecting them and giving them their time and showing respect for what they've done.
It's pretty much just respect it for what it is. It's like, you know, it doesn't need to be a blockbuster, just respect it for what it is.
Right. It's, these awards are a joke. And what's most frustrating is like, I feel like I need to watch them just because of it's a big part of the game industry. Plus, there's a lot of exclusives that happen during there, which blows my mind because the Oscars don't like show off trailers and stuff like upcoming movie in 2013 and stuff like that. Not that we have to be like the Oscars. I'm just comparing it to the Oscars. But the Oscars are dumb. I don't know why I keep bringing that up anyway. But
yeah, really? God.
But you know what I mean? It's just
because
like,
you desperately want an Oscar.
Yeah, well, it's just a more serious award show that will, you know, recognize people and what they've done in the video game industry. I don't think it necessarily needs that, but if you're going to do it,
at least do it right.
Don't let Spike do it. Basically,
yeah, seriously. Don't let Spike or G4 touch it, and I'll be happy.
No, I was like legitimately excited when I first heard about G4.
Oh, there was a Jonas brother. Okay, I just want to say
what?
I just remember that. It's a freaking Jonas brother. Who wants to hear from a Jonas brother?
Dude, I never want to hear you utter that statement again, please. Dude, it's a Jonas brother.
I was saying that because I was so excited.
Dude, I can't believe they actually had him there.
Why was he there? Why is there a Jonas brother there? Why is any of this happening, Spike? You are the worst station of all time.
Oh, dude, you didn't know? One of the Jonas brothers actually spearheaded Resistance 3. He was actually behind the whole game.
Oh, yeah, that's right, I forgot.
Yeah. Little note that.
We should move on.
I feel like that'd be best for everyone's happiness level.
That's my aggravation of the week. Everything about the VGAs and anyone who supports it.
Oh, okay. We should talk about the update from Microsoft. Dashboard update.
Yeah, so let's get into our discussion. 360 dashboard update went out this week. Basically, a lot of the update focused on Kinect integration and a lot of different media updates with television related content and other things.
Really, really good Kinect integration though.
I don't have a Kinect, so I haven't used it.
I don't have a Kinect either, but like I was reading about it, and just the fact that you can pretty much bring up anything on your Netflix Instant Queue by saying the name of it, that's pretty incredible.
That's nice.
There's some things about Netflix though, if you're not using a Kinect, that are kind of stupid. That my roommate
really?
Says, yeah.
I use Netflix on my PS3, so I haven't used it on PS3.
Oh, yeah. For the 360, though, like, there's certain things, like, if you want to watch a season or whatever, and my roommate was telling me about this, because he watches a bunch of Netflix, like, he watches South Park and stuff on his Xbox there, and he said that when he went to go watch a season for, say, South Park, like, as soon as he clicked on it, like, it doesn't show up, like, all the episodes anymore. It just automatically plays the latest episode. So, like, he hates that, and, I mean, I don't know. I probably would hate it, too. But it's like, yeah, it just automatically plays the latest episode. Like, it doesn't even come up, like, all the episodes you can view.
Since the update, it's done that?
Right.
Okay.
Wow. Well, that's really gay, though.
That's really stupid.
Have you guys spent a lot of time with the update?
No, Xbox.
I haven't even seen it, actually.
Okay, so just me and Brian, mostly?
I like the look. I mean, I did use it a little bit. I didn't really go into, like, HBO Go or the ESPN stuff you can do. Which does interest me, it's just I haven't toyed around with it because my Xbox broke. I do like the new look of the dashboard a lot, but that's about
it. I find it, like, if I had a Kinect, I wouldn't have this problem, obviously, because it's obviously Kinect-centric, but I found it a little bit hard to navigate because, like, the tiles are different sizes. Like, you'll have, like, two small ones, one big one, two small ones, and sometimes I want to go to the top small one as opposed to the bottom small one. And it's just, I don't know, it feels clunky. It just feels a little bit cumbersome. I'll get used to it, I'm sure, but I don't think I should have to.
Yeah, it does seem a lot more geared towards Kinect users, because like we had a Kinect demo unit in my store for a while, and basically just like the way the dashboard worked when you had the Kinect with the before the new update, Sorry, hold on one second.
I'm dumping my Legos everywhere, so I gotta pick them up.
Sorry, my dog was chewing on a bag. But yeah, so like the way the Kinect specific dashboard worked before the update feels very similar to how the whole dashboard works with the new update. Like just the same way the squares are arranged and that kind of stuff. It just feels very similar, and like it definitely is geared a little bit more towards the Kinect specifically, but I haven't had too much problem with it.
So I'm gonna bring up two complaints, which are two big complaints. The new look, it seems much faster than any of the previous ones,
yeah,
which is nice. But here are my two big problems. The smaller one is that why is the fourth tab in the games one? I don't care about social or whatever the other one is. Get that out of the way. Like the one I start on, like you have your home one, but then the fourth one in is your games one. And I mean they on the main one
they should be moved up.
Yeah, because like to get to my game library, I have to go all the way over there, and it's just. It's not that I'm that lazy. It's just
because it's no longer a game console, Jared. You should know this.
Yeah. Well, it should be the main focus.
Well, I bought a game console. I don't want a social networking computer with the side of Xbox 360.
Well, that's just kind of the way the industry is trending these days. I mean, look at the PSP. It focused way too much on the aspects of it that weren't gaming. Like this actually bothered the hell out of me when I started working at EB Games and. It was right when the PSP came out, and the main advertising stuff was for it was like movies, internet, and then games. I was like, well, it's a gaming console. I wanted to play games. That's all I really want it for. And yeah, I have found myself using some of the, like, on my 3DS, like some of the internet browsing functionality and like some of the download play and stuff like that, which is nice. But just the way the industry is trending these days, you really need to have all that stuff. It needs to be a whole media center, not just, you know, gaming.
But if you have a smartphone, are you... Like, I used to kind of like, with my PSP, I liked having that ability to look on the internet. It was kind of convenient. But with a smartphone or even an iPod, at that point, that functionality becomes useless because it felt kind of clunky, and I'd rather use my smartphone than
That's
my
for
Nintendo.
You, though. That's not for everybody.
I don't know. I don't... What do you think,
Brian,
Jared?
You're quite the exception.
Would you rather use your smartphone now or your 3DS for web browsing?
Well, we'll get into that in just a second. But, because that's kind of where our discussion's going.
Yeah, where's your second complaint, Jared?
That's what I'm going to get to. Maybe I should have switched them around and done my second complaint first. Anyway, my other complaint is that I feel like when I'm looking at the dashboard, all I'm seeing are ads now.
Ah, yeah.
This isn't the first time you see ads, but I pay a subscription to you, Microsoft. Why am I seeing ads?
Exactly. Especially for WoW.
And why are they so big?
Yeah, like the Chuck Norris ad they're putting on there.
Which is super lame. why is there a giant square in the middle of everything of an ad? Why is that there? Why do I pay you $50 or $60 a year now to see ads? Yeah, exactly. But Sony, albeit their network isn't amazing, at least I don't have to sit through ads constantly.
And theirs is free, you know, it says something.
Yeah. So I don't understand the logic there.
Although, I don't know if you guys have ever talked about PS Plus, but it really is amazing.
No, I haven't. I never considered getting it.
Well, PlayStation Plus is so great. Like, I got the 3-month for $17.99, and in the first, I think, month and a half of having it, I've gotten all three of the original Crash Bandicoot games for free, all three of the original Spyro games for free. I've got
the only problem is once you cancel that, you don't have those anymore.
Yeah, but I don't really have a problem with that. I mean, I like PS Plus. I like all the extra features. I mean, Microsoft does it for free, but I like the cloud, well, not free because it's live, but the cloud service is really nice. Like, when I got my new PS3, I just bought the PS Plus right away so I could put all my save data on the cloud and bring it down to my new PS3, which is really convenient. But pretty much everything about the PlayStation Plus is awesome. Like, everything feels a lot more streamlined. It's like a cheaper version of Xbox Live, basically. Yeah, Live is a better service. I'm not going to dispute that at all. But the fact that I'm getting all these free downloads and stuff is really awesome. Like, it's
makes
really
you feel
nice.
Like you're actually paying something for something.
For something, yeah. Like Xbox Live, you're pretty much just paying so that you can play online, whereas you can do
right
for
because
free,
you can do a lot of the other features like download games and stuff without having a gold thing anyway. So
yeah,
why is
exactly.
it
exactly? So they really ramped it up with PS Plus, and like the fact that I've been and I think they did this just because Uncharted 3 came out, but the fact that I could get all three Crash games plus Crash Team Racing for free. Like, that's awesome.
Well, thank God, Crash Team Racing.
Well, I mean, it was okay. It was like the poor man's Mario Kart, basically. But it was cool, just because I can sit there and play Crash Bandicoot and just be like, oh, man, this is actually really cool for me because I can kind of see where Naughty Dog got some of the inspiration for Uncharted from, because that you can kind of see it in the old Crash games, and I never realized it until replaying through them because I downloaded them for free.
Let's get back to the whole media on our consoles more than just games.
Yeah, you can use your Windows phone as a remote control too. I just found that out.
Oh, nice. That's awesome.
That's actually kind of cool.
But the problem is that nobody has a Windows phone.
That's also pretty true.
But yeah, you can use it as a remote.
So first off, do you guys mind this direction? And do you actually want this direction for your consoles in the future? This direction of more integrated social networking and integration of more media and basically making your 360 or PS3 or whatever, your console in general, kind of a one-stop shop for all your home media entertainment?
Me personally, I don't really mind it so much. It's not like it takes away from the gaming experience. I think it enriches it, to be completely honest. Like, you look at all the social features and stuff that you can use your gaming console for, like, you know, being able to access, you know, Facebook and stuff like that, even from your gaming consoles. You can really just sit there and be like, well, I'm in the middle of playing this game and I'm really enjoying it. Let me tell everyone about it. So it's not like it takes away from anything, and it does add a decent amount to it, I think.
Well, I hear what you're saying there, Dylan, but I also don't want everyone on my Facebook to know that I just got the achievement for playing 78 hours straight on X, Y, and Z game at 3 in the morning.
Well, as long as that stuff's... as long as you're able to shut that off, or if by default it's not on, that's... I don't have a problem with that.
Well, I have a lot of people on my Facebook, including my family, and I'm sure my mother would call me up and be like, what the hell are you doing playing video games all night long?
Mom should definitely not be doing that when you're like 26 years old. No, I actually want them to be all separate. I mean, in my personal situation, I have a Droid phone. I can update my status while I'm playing a video game. It's not a big deal. I mean, I have the same size computer screen as I do on my console screen, so I don't need to be having like one console to go on YouTube and Facebook and everything else. I can just switch it through my input. So I really don't think that it's any advantage for me whatsoever to have all these integration parts to it. I want my console just to be a console, and I want to play games on it.
So you don't even want it to have any of that stuff?
I could care less, no, because I have it.
But it doesn't bother you if it exists?
It depends if it interrupts me when I play games and stuff, but just the fact that it's on the dashboard, that wouldn't really bother me.
Yeah, because like what I was going to say, Devin, I agree with you with the whole smartphone thing, because I have a smartphone as well, and that's usually what I use for pretty much anything I do connected to the internet these days. But, I mean, the fact that it's there, the fact that the option is there, I think is a positive step, because I think it'll open some doors somewhere down the line. And it, like I said, I don't think it's detracting from the experience at all, until I start getting Facebook updates on my TV while I'm playing Skyrim. Then it'll bother me, you know.
Exactly. I don't want it to interfere with me playing games. And if I don't update my status, I'm not going to be typing something with the stupid Xbox controller. I'm just going to type it on my phone. It'll be easier that way.
Right. Yeah. Well, I've already had some experiences where I'm playing a game and someone will come online, and it just so happens that the Xbox decides to show so-and-so is online, and I can't see how much health the person I'm fighting has left, and thus gauge whether or not I need to chug a potion or play it safe or, you know, whatever. And
it's called pause.
Well, yeah, but who wants... Do you want to pause your game every time someone signs in to Xbox Live?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just a problem with Xbox Live in general. I think PlayStation has it right there. It shows up in a tiny corner on the top right of your screen, whereas Xbox is like, hey, your friend's on! Look what they're doing!
Well, the worst part is it sits there for so long.
Yeah.
Like, how long does it have to sit there for? I get it. He's on. I'm not going to play
The worst part is that I think that I have an achievement, and it's just my stupid friends online.
Yeah, exactly.
You go all excited. Yeah. Oh.
There's times where you actually think you did something. Like, as soon as you do something, you're like, it's like, ding. It's like, oh my gosh, I got oh, it's not achievement.
Yeah, really.
So, like, I'm a big PC gamer, and on a PC, I already have all that stuff at my fingertips, you know, music, video, whatever.
Exactly.
I don't really watch cable TV. I know Devin doesn't have cable TV. I don't know about your Brian and
I'm
Dylan.
I'm actually getting rid of my cable TV due to Netflix.
I pretty much keep cable just to watch hockey.
So that's what I was going to ask about. Like, with the integration of more into consoles, like with Devin, I know you don't have cable, but do you think you'd start watching, like more Hulu or Netflix or something like that through your 360, or is that not appealing at all?
Well, it doesn't matter because I watch it on my computer. like I said, you know, I had the same screen. It doesn't matter.
So it wouldn't really matter what they did?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't need to watch it because a lot of people, you know, they have their Xbox or something hooked up to their big 50-inch screen in the living room, and they're like, hey, I want to watch this on this huge screen,
yeah.
Whereas my computer is on this, you know, 19, 22-inch screen in the dining room or whatever. But I have the same exact screen for it, so it's easier for me to navigate on a computer anyway. I don't need it on the console.
So is that the big deterrent, that the navigation isn't as great? Like, what if they added mouse and keyboard support?
Yeah, I guess
or, like,
true.
A remote control support? Would that make a difference? Or even the Kinect, if you like that.
Kinect? You know, Kinect might actually work. I don't really want to either pay for an extra mouse and keyboard to hook into my Xbox or just constantly transfer it over from my PC. I wouldn't want to do that, that's for sure. But, I don't know, maybe Kinect would work. It's just not appealing for me just because of my situation. And
yeah, I think
just
that's really specific because, like, for me, I don't actually have a computer. I'm using, you know, my roommate's computer right now. And, you know, in this case, it works pretty well because her computer does have an HDMI port. So even if I didn't have, you know, the 360 and the PS3, I could just use Netflix on the computer and hook it up to the HDTV. But a lot of people don't have newer computers. A lot of people, you know, have bigger screens for their TV than they do for their laptop or their PC or whatever, and I think it's a great situation for them to have. Like, the fact that I can just, like, you know, sit there and watch Netflix on my PS3, for me, is awesome.
Well, I kind of agree with Dylan here. I mean, like, I'm looking at building an HTPC home theater PC, for those of you who don't know, and, I mean, that's going to cost me roughly $300 just to get it started. And in theory, I have an HTPC already in with my 360 for what most people are going to use for it. I mean, most people are going to use their home theater PC for Netflix and Hulu and watching movies. And, I mean, I'm going to be using it to play emulated games and whatnot as well, which is why I'm going that route. But a lot of people aren't even going to get into that, so they don't need that. So they're basically getting a free home theater PC along with that. I don't mind the media-centric stuff. But when it comes to the social, when they turned Xbox Live into a social network, I felt like it was kind of like a good thing and a bad thing. It's just, I felt some things could have been done a little better. Like, especially where they decided to make you know where your friends popped up. Sorry.
For me, it means nothing, but for people that want to use it, more power to them. It's a nice option to have.
The one thing I really like, having worked in the cable industry for about 2 years, the cable industry in general is just an antiquated idea. Having to pay for this huge package with a bunch of channels that you don't even care about. The great thing about this is more things. Now, some of this stuff that they've updated, like HBO Go, you already need an HBO subscription to use that. So that kind of sucks. But a lot of this stuff.
Is that the same way with sci-fi? And isn't sci-fi on there now? You have to have, like, you already have to own or pay for cable, right? To watch sci-fi on your Xbox.
That one I'm not sure about.
What about the, I know they have a lot of stuff with ESPN hooked up on there. Is that through the channel as well, or are you able to watch?
The old ESPN stuff was free. I know that.
Yeah, the old ESPN stuff, you didn't have to.
For me, that would pretty much be worth it, because pretty much the only things I regularly watch on TV are football games or hockey games, and it'd be nice to not care about cable, because I could just watch them on the 360.
Yeah, and that's the great thing about this, is because it is moving the industry in a more on-demand style, which is how cable should, or how television in general should be. You should be able to choose what you want when you want. You shouldn't have to wait to, like, okay, Monday night at 8 o'clock, I have to watch this show, I have to sit through these commercials. It's like, no, I want to pay, I'll pay a premium or whatever, like, I'll pay my $7.99 a month for Netflix, and then I get to watch it whenever I feel like it, or
and
Hulu
Plus. I mean, you get it, what, with Hulu, you get it like a day late or something like that, but who really cares?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, one day does not make a difference.
I think for most people, this is a good direction. This update is probably a pretty good direction, but it just doesn't apply to me.
I think it is, but exactly. It isn't. I think some of the things you brought up, one of the big things is navigation. Most people don't want to use a controller to, like, update their Twitter or their Facebook. And now they have that little Kinect, little messenger thing that they came out for, the MSN Messenger, that little keyboard, if you want to get that on your 360 controller. There's that, but Microsoft, I mean, you can use a USB keyboard with your 360 right now for typing messages and stuff, but most people aren't going to do that.
I had no idea you could do that.
Yeah. Really? Yeah, you could do that. I know you could do that.
Well, that's awesome. I need to get that hooked up.
There's a lot of stuff like that that people don't know about. Like, you can use the GameStop, I don't know about the Microsoft brand, but the GameStop brand USB 360 controllers, you can use that with your PC.
Yeah, you can do it with the Microsoft.
Yeah, I knew
also.
That because I'm doing that with my PS1 emulator right now. It's actually the GameStop brand.
I think that's I think that's the big thing that's hurting this kind of update. I know the whole idea is to kind of push the Kinect because they want people to use that to navigate and whatnot. And yeah, that is nice in some aspects from what I've heard, but really a lot of people still want that physical, you know, controller. They want a remote. They want a mouse and keyboard, something like that. So until they do something like that, I don't think this is really going to become a real home theater entertainment system the way they want it to be.
I just think it's so funny that they're pushing the Kinect so hard right now, but so many people got them with their 360 last year and realized that they didn't care for it too much, and GameStop sells the Kinect $50 cheaper than buying it new, so I don't know how Microsoft expects to make much money on that.
So yeah, I kind of went through all the questions that I had for the comp.
Well, I mean, we didn't even talk about some of the other aspects they have. Like, we didn't talk about the beacons or the cloud saves. How do you guys
know
about that stuff?
Done a lot with that. Like, for the cloud saves, it's really not that big. I forget how much you get, but it's not enough. Like, I don't move around a lot. Like, I'm not moving from different console to console, so I don't really have a reason to use the cloud saves. So it's not.
I like the idea, but it's, yeah, I like the idea a lot. Like, it very specifically, like I said, when I got my new PS3, the idea of cloud save was really pertinent then because I was getting a new system, and you know, some of the particular save files you can't actually put on USB because it's like disk centric. Like Demon Souls was one of them. I forget what the other ones were. I think Mortal Kombat was one of them, but I couldn't transfer those on a USB drive or anything, so I had to use cloud. And I was like, wow, that really is helpful. I mean, it's something I'm getting with my PlayStation Plus. But I couldn't see myself using it at all on the 360.
It's nice that it's there, though. I certainly am glad that it's there, because when I do need that, it'll be something nice to use.
That one time you need it, you're going to be like, oh, thank you, Microsoft.
But even then, I have two 16 gig USBs. It's not like I can't. I most certainly can fit all my saves on there that I need to, and that's... not really.
As long as you can put them on your USB.
Yeah.
Like he was saying.
I haven't used the beacons at all, have you? Okay, I know you guys haven't. You guys know what the beacons are, exactly.
Yeah. Just sending out a message to everybody. You're playing a game, whatever.
It's like, hey, I'm available to play this.
Yeah.
I'm desperate and lonely. Please play with me.
Pretty much. There's no one on my... like, the people I play with, which are you guys, if I want to play, I just talk to you on Skype or something, or text your friends, but I don't really have, like, a lot of people on my list. I have, like...
Well, I don't get it. What's the difference between just sending out a friend request, or not friend request, but a game invite to everybody or something like that, or just sending out a message to everybody?
You can't really do that on 360 anymore.
What?
Like,
really?
There's no way. You can do... Yeah, you could do that in, like, Halo 2, but you can't do that on 360. You can't just spam everyone and say, like, come play with me.
Oh, you can't send a message to everybody? That's something I did not know.
You can, but you can't do it all at once.
Oh.
I think there's an app for iPhone that you can do that, actually.
Oh.
Because I got a couple spam messages. I don't know how they did it, but they did.
Maybe there's that. But the beacon, I don't have a lot of people on my friends list. Like, if I'm wanting to play a co-op or a multiplayer thing, I want to play with people I know,
yeah,
people I'm friends with. So I'm never, like, just putting out my friends list, like, hey, anybody available to play this? I really want to play with someone. Because that's not what makes a multiplayer game fun for me.
Yeah. But if you had friends that did that and they saw that you were online or whatever, and then you just saw that
if you had friends.
they were sending those beacons out, you obviously see them, right, on your screen?
I don't know,
like, you see these messages come pop up, like, could you not be getting spammed by all that stuff from everybody else sending out their beacons?
I don't know, I haven't had anyone use a beacon yet, so I'd have to see. We'd have to test that.
I just know that Tara Long commented and said that it was kind of annoying.
If
actually.
That happens, then that's super annoying. I better be able to shut it off because I don't want to see that.
Absolutely. You better be able to shut that crap off. Is there any other, like, specific things that this new update has?
I mean, not really. I mean, the media features are the big thing and some of that stuff and the Kinect integration, but...
I don't know, it just appeals to certain people. I mean, I think the whole screen size thing is going to get a lot of people, and people who maybe don't have a computer... which I don't know who doesn't have a computer, but either way, if they want to get YouTube and stuff on their big screens, that's cool for them, not for me.
Like I said, like, the media-centric stuff I don't mind, it's the social-centric stuff that I get more leery about if it starts getting in the way or not.
Yeah, I guess that's the big thing. Whether if this affects my personal experience of gaming, which is the primary thing I'm going to use on my console, that's when it's an issue.
Even if the dashboard gets cluttered with all this other crap, I can deal with it. As long as I can just, you know, click on my game that I want to play. So, like, when you put the game in, just say, yeah, I want to play this game. That's fine. Everything else can be fine. I don't go through the dashboard that often anyway. I don't use it for anything else.
Me either. So let's finish this up. So that was our discussion on video game stuff.
On the new Microsoft update.
On the new Microsoft video game player. Hey, if you like what you listen to, why don't you subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher? And while you're there, leave us a rating. Let us know what you think. 5 stars would be cool, but you don't have to. Anything will work.
Son.
Follow us on Twitter at BTWNThePixels and follow our website on Twitter at ThePixelPerfect. What else am I missing?
PixelPerfectMag.com is where you can find us.
If you want to email us, you got any feedback, want us to talk about something, want to say, hey, you guys are awesome.
Or you suck. Or you guys suck.
Or you suck. Email us, BTWNThePixels at PixelPerfectMag.com. That's all I got. Anyone have any parting words to say to the folks?
Keep gaming.
Gaming will live on forever.
Gaming will live on forever. That's a reference, guys, to video games.
That you will never get.
Anyway, thanks for listening.
See you next week.
See you next week.